Okay, and welcome back. We're going to talk to Dr. Bill Deagle for the next hour. Lots of things to cover, lots of things going on. We are tragically now enveloped, the Northern Hemisphere, all the way around the world with Fukushima radioactivity. The isotopes are up there. They're not going to come down in some cases for years. The winds just keep moving them around. They're very tiny. We had a guest on last night, Michael Collins, who is following and tracking radioactivity in the United States. And he and his wife went from California to Michigan. And you know, if you heard the program last night, you can see it and listen to it up at the top of the radiation box in featured stories, Michael Collins, at their readings in the aircraft when it was at 20,000 and 30,000 feet. No doubt that radioactivity is up there and it is being taken into the airline cabins of all these airliners. So that's not a good sign at all. There's a lot going on in Fukushima and in Japan. Much to talk about. Let's say hi to Bill. Welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. The situation, of course, I happened to just listen to that program actually just before I went on today, and I've been doing more research on what's going on. And some of the things, unfortunately, this is very grisly news to continue what Michael Collins said and what Yoichi Shumatsu said as well, is actually even worse than what they said. And the reason is what we're having is a chronic radiation sickness, not just in Japan, but we're going to start seeing the effects of chronic radiation illness in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, there's a very important Canadian radiologist, actually, that came up with this principle called the PETCAL. And the PETCAL principle is that if you have low-level radiation, mm-hmm. the cells don't get enough dosage that they get damaged. And the damaged cell has a normal process to kill itself, and then new cells replace it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a damaged cell that doesn't get damaged enough that this mechanism gets turned on, it lives. And it turns into cancer, or it degenerates into an autoimmune disease, or it actually interferes with other cells that might replace it in an organ or tissue. So the effect that low-level radiation over long periods of time, like plutonium, cesium, strontium, etc., is actually worse if you look at the total number of the millicuries of radiation you're exposed to than if you've got a big blast, let's say a nuclear bomb, and
right.
you either survive or not. And then if there's cells that are seriously damaged, your body gets rid of them,
uh-huh.
you still have the basic stem cells in your gut so you can repair your gut, your bone marrow, et cetera.
That brings up, let me ask you a question pertinent to that. Somebody was saying early on, it was Dr. Tom Burnett, that a nuke should be detonated directly on the entire Fukushima complex to do exactly as you've just laid out there. One-time dose, we deal with it, and that's it.
No, I think at this point, here's what the problem is. What you have now is everything they've done is wrong. And we talked about this, I think, as long as 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
But what they probably should have done. Number one, what they should have done, first, you can't put human beings in there, even these people that are volunteered by the Yakuza. You can't send in non-radiation-proof robots. We know that the DARPA has them. We know the Japanese have been developing robots that can work in radiation or deep space, because deep space is a radiation zone. There's high levels of cosmic background radiation, X-rays, and gamma rays. And so they know that they have robots and circuits and microchips that are developed, but it's considered classified, so they don't want to use them. And I know the American government has these, okay? So you can't send people in, even if they're suicidal, within a matter of minutes, they're going to be basically babbling and incapable of functioning at any level, even if they knew where the things were in the plant. And unfortunately, this latest event, which Yoichi went through, and I went back and actually got some more literature, believe it or not. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's even
mm-hmm.
worse than what he reported.
Well, as you heard, his sources are saying that there has been a tremendous pullback of workers. They are literally abandoning the plant, not all of them necessarily, and a lot of police are moving into the area around the plant, not directly around it, but in the zone of evacuation around it. So something's
right.
happening there, and it probably pertains to the January 1st earthquake, which,
right.
as you know, Bill, broke the pipe that was feeding the water into the spent fuel pool of Building 4, Reactor 4. The water immediately drained out of the spent fuel pool, or SFP, and the SFP was observed to allegedly boil with no water in it.
Right.
The boiling, of course, was what?
Well, the small amount of water that's left is being converted directly into tritium, and tritium's carrying heavy isotopes like plutonium, strontium,
right, and the whole thing, basically what we're saying here, folks, is that the SFP, the spent fuel pool at Reactor 4, went critical.
Yeah, and what we have basically is a nuclear explosion, which is equivalent to, you know, an ongoing open wound. What I've noticed on my radiation detector here in North County, San Diego, is that ordinarily in the first few months after Fukushima, we get radiation levels would fluctuate between back around mid-20s to about, say, the 50s or 60s. Now it doesn't drop. I go look at it, and it's very rare it drops into the mid-30s or 40s once a week or two.
Wow.
And otherwise, it's almost always in
that's
a high 50s.
Very high.
Or
very
high 50s or low or mid-60s.
Yeah.
And there's been times I've seen it actually go into the 70s, and it's not always when it's raining. When it's raining, it goes real high.
You're at 100% plus over background almost constantly now.
Well, I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 2.5 to 3 times background right now, all the time.
Wow.
Now, people have to know, these radiation detectors don't differentiate. They don't tell you whether it's plutonium or some other isotope. So you can't differentiate what isotope is being exposed, whether its half-life is 24,900 years like plutonium, or it's uranium, or it's stasium or strontium that has a half-life of several hundred years. So what we're being exposed to, basically, is going to change the biology of the planet forever. Now, people have a hard time with the word forever. They have to understand, and I heard the comments about abortion, what's going on right now is 4%, and this is by their own admission, 4% of the children born now in northern Japan have brain damage caused by radiation. It's probably higher than that. And it's bioaccumulating in children now that are going to start showing signs of what's called decorticate brain activity, which means they're going to lose what's called the executive functions of their brain. In other words, they lose their ability to be human. They lose their ability to laugh, integrate advanced thought patterns, to forward think, to interact with other people in a normal human way. Do you remember all the movies over the past 40 years have opened me on this idea of zombies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was based on the idea that of these movies that some kind of program of the government was to create some super weapon that was a rabies virus that would make people decorticate.
Right.
Right? They actually did it, by the way. People need to know these things exist in a lab. But people don't understand that radiation does the same thing. When you get long-term radiation, high metabolic tissues, the first thing that goes is you start to destroy the number and the quality of mitochondria. When your mitochondria go, they go particularly in highly metabolic tissues like your Krebs cells in your gut, your neuroglial cells in your brain, your neurons, your bone marrow cells, etc. And when each of these we call highly metabolically rapidly turning over cells, they start to die. And the cells can't be replaced. So what happens is you start to have activity that starts to change people's behavior. It starts to block the ability to release growth hormones so children don't grow. It blocks the ability to absorb nutrients and supplements. It blocks the ability of the body to cope with infection. And if you have a high free radical load and you have a pathogen in you, a bacteria or a virus, those free radicals actually push the virus or bacteria to evolve toward more pathogenic strains to survive in your body. So it literally makes you turn into a laboratory vessel to speed the evolution of deadly pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
Bacteria
mm-hmm.
that are resistant mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. Yeah. antibiotics,
right.
Viruses that are resistant to antivirals, and it increases what's called the chances that the herd immunity is going to promote a pandemic.
Okay, let me add something to that. The idea of irradiating food to kill dangerous bacteria has been around for about 10, 15 years now.
Right.
The problem with it is real simple. When you expose food, whether it be vegetables or meat, to this, what it is, it's used nuclear fuel.
Right.
It creates compounds that have never existed before,
right.
That aren't in any textbooks, that don't even have names, and nobody knows what the hell they might do to people, how they could interact with each other. They have no idea. And in one test alone, over 34 compounds were created by exposing vegetables to this nuclear radioactive waste to allegedly
right.
make it safe. So there you go. You're creating new things right now in Fukushima that didn't exist before. And that's what Bill's talking about.
Right. Now, of course, this also ties in to the research on juvenile diabetes. Milk from cows that mm-hmm. is not pasteurized and played around with, and cows, by the way, that are fed grass and not
right. Right.
inflammatory molecules, milk, doesn't cause juvenile diabetes. That research is all proven. When you take milk, what's happening in dairies, and I know this is in Canada, I'm pretty sure it's the same in the States, most people are aware the pasteurization process isn't just heating the milk to 160 degrees. they take these multiple large milk containers and they put it into a specific, if you want to call it, chamber. And they blast it with radiation. They've been doing this for years. Most people aren't aware of that. And so these strange compounds are showing up in milk, the so-called pasteurized. Right?
Correct.
And they don't know this. They don't know that when I've told people years ago, get raw cow's milk from a cow, I've never seen a food allergy. And of course, especially if the cows are fed grass, which is what they should be because they're herbivores, rather than being fed corn or meat or even ground up previous cows, which is what they're doing in Britain to start off a lot of their weird infections like BSE.
Very good. Hold on a sec, Bill. Yeah. No.
Crazy. In other words, it's pure insanity.
Crazy.
And most doctors don't know this. Unfortunately, if you're listening now, you're going to find out the truth.
Well, they will, the hard way. And the patients, even harder. Be right back. Okay, back with Bill. Just in, another 4.4 earthquake just offshore from Fukushima. They're just really concentrating on the eastern shore and in the ocean, in fact, on land of Honshu. It's quite remarkable when you look at the map. It's I'll post it. Earthquakes all around Fukushima. Just amazing. And they're just shaking that destroyed facility. Sooner or later, those buildings are just going to fall.
Yeah.
And the spent fuel pool and building four is already leaning, as is the whole building, 15 degrees. And when that goes, it's total criticality, and nobody can do a damn thing about it. Nothing.
Well, there's a couple of things that they might potentially be able to do, but they haven't even started. The first thing is they should put a Kevlar spider silk tent around the facility, and they should be filtering it all through buckyballs.
When I say there's nothing they can do, that takes into perfect account what you said. There's nothing they can do because they're not doing anything.
Right. The point is, we're using what I call science fiction, is if you want to call it the stick that our mind uses to invent science that eventually we test and prove. And if you think of science fiction in this case, we already know there are pieces of the puzzle that we can put together. We can make not a solid thing, but a tent that would be strong enough to withstand, say, hydrogen explosion. They could contain it. We could filter it. We already know that we can make buckyballs. We've already made buckyball strings. We can make a buckyball-type filter that could grab these radioisotopes, and then we can properly create the type of ships to transport the radioisotopes in a solid form to the bottom of a tin mine down, you know, 3 or 4 miles down so they never come back.
Right.
The fact is, we're not designing the ships. We don't have radiation-proof robots that they're declassifying. We aren't building a spider silk tent. We're not putting a corium catcher underneath it, so no matter how far down this material is, it's probably down meters below the reactor core floor, and who knows how low. It's also creating what's called these radiation hydrovolcanic explosions that occur, and they may be quiet explosions. They may be constantly, you know, like a lava lamp, recriticality occurring over and over again, and each time there's a pulse of radiation and superheated steam with tritium that could be traveling 20, 30 kilometers. We don't know. It's like a volcano where, you know, thousands of years later, you go back and you see these tubes that you can walk through. Some of them are big enough, but these tubes could be quite small or quite large, and they could follow the rock faces or fault lines, and they could go out into the ocean. They could go across not only Honshu, but down to other adjacent islands. We don't know. And the problem is, we're not asking the questions, and that's what I tell people. You don't have to believe what we say, but ask better questions. Try to use your intellect and then go and find out whether there is a partial answer or a complete answer. And then, you know, human beings are capable if we have enough advance warning. Most people are not getting any news. Even UC California Berkeley shut down and won't answer even my phone calls or emails. They were putting information up the first 4 or 5 months. They've stopped completely. The Environmental Protection Agency doesn't do any testing anymore. The Canadian government are lying through their teeth and saying, yes, they tested a few fish. No one's doing air sampling. And I listened to the report, and I'm certain he's correct, that we actually are getting radiation plumes at high altitude that's being sucked in through the air intake on jet engines when people go on national or international flights. And so the entire northern hemisphere are going to start developing symptoms in the next 2, 5, I don't know how many years, of radiation sickness, like the radiation sickness that's evident in northern Japan. And people aren't prepared for the fact of dealing with literally zombies, tremendous amounts of birth defects, tremendous amounts of premature babies and spontaneous miscarriages or abortions. People die from all kinds of conditions that they don't directly link to Fukushima, like, how come grandma deteriorated so fast after Fukushima? How come grandma became demented? How come such and such had a stroke? There's a link. It's called the total load. And when you add the load of the Fukushima radiation on top of someone who's already teetering, either in utero or they're 90 years of age, it kills people. Whether they're in utero and they're just in their early stage past the blast, either they're 5 or 6 weeks of development, or they're 91 and all of a sudden their inflammatory reactions in their arteries make their artery decide to form a clot and block off the middle cerebral artery and they die. So that's what we're facing. We're facing a massive population collapse that's going to result from this single event. Is equivalent in a sense to a radiation event of a nuclear war without the cities on fire.
They are also now seeing over there, I guess what we could call kind of a mass cerebral lethargy, which is being determined by some physicians to be actual brain damage on a very wide scale.
If you did a PET scan, you'd show decreased oxygen uptake in the frontal lobes and the executive areas. If you did what's called a QIG or quantitative EEG and neuropsychological testing, what you'd find is these people are acting as if they're decorticate, decerebrate, especially in the frontal lobes. And you could quantitatively prove this. So if there's people listening and want to know, and these technologies exist in Japan, so if you want to test to see if people are developing what are called decorticate, decerebrate activity, in the very early subtle stages, this is the way to test it. The other way to test it is to measure, for example, the presence of new stealth pathogens. I just got this report here, too, antibiotic-resistant bacteria from Fukushima nuclear accident, and it was just published today.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is published in the February 1 issue, 2012, of Ecotoxicology and Environmental Safety. And they looked at organisms like MRSA, Staph aureus, et cetera, that are all these flesh-eating bacteria. And what they said is that the incident in Fukushima is going to cause a massive explosion in these antibiotic-resistant and, of course, viral-resistant superbugs, which means it's virtually a guarantee because H1N1 and H5N1 are both coexistent in Japan. It makes it a very hot point that we're going to see these superbugs emerge from Japan now and from areas where there's getting more radiation over the next decade, the Northern Hemisphere, and that we're going to see pandemics released and that Japan becomes a much more likely hotspot where this can happen.
Very good, Bill. Excellent.
Yeah. This is not, this is really bad news. And the problem is people kind of drinking clean water, supplements.
Denver.
As I said before, the only way you can survive is to realize that people survive nuclear war in Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
They survive exposure to radiation in towns like there's a town in Iran that's the natural background radiation, I think, is like 80 to 140 counts per minute. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, they survive it because they have enough nutrition that when their cells get damaged, their body says, okay, you die, and it replaces it. So if you have the right nutrients in your body, and you're detoxing your body constantly, and you're using things like, infrared sauna and pulse magnetic field and hyperbarics and whatever, if you're getting really sick, but if you're just taking regular things and probiotics, chelating agents, simple things like that,
mm-hmm.
and just choosing the kind of food you eat, and realizing mm-hmm. also that there was bioaccumulators. If you're eating things on the top of the food chain, i.e., if you're drinking milk,
anything out of the Pacific Ocean, period.
Right, but if you're also eating a meat that's going to start bioaccumulating cesium,
sure,
you're going to start getting these things.
Well, already is, but no one's checking. Hold on, Bill, please. Yep. We've got to pause. Come right back. Okay, back with Bill Deagle. And some of you may recall early after the March 11th disaster, that airliners landing in Texas, I believe at Dallas-Fort Worth, and in Chicago, I'm pretty sure there were two airports. Planes flying in from Japan were checked for radiation, and they were hot. They also triggered radiation detectors at those U.S. airports. Other planes did the same, but we didn't hear about that. The feds stopped checking airliners immediately after the story broke. Bad for business. And
no,
nobody checked the interior air cabin for anything. Nobody
right.
did.
Or bioaccumulation. Do we want to see pilots that are flying, let's say, 2,000 hours?
Watch becoming, what happens in a year or two. Well,
yeah, what's going to happen if these people start getting chronic radiation sickness and they actually start to lose some of their marbles? What's going to happen if we start to find that when you fly a certain number of hours, your risk of cancer goes up dramatically if they're flying through these concentrated air plumes where there's high levels of radiation? We don't know because nobody's testing. Nobody's putting up balloons. The Environmental Protection Agency, the International Atomic Energy Commission, nobody's doing testing. So anyway, I have protocols on my website, NutraMedical, that can help people with that. Mm-hmm. I think they can start off with real basic things. Start a probiotic. Take a chelating agent. Start doing simple things. Taking radioiodine blockers like our Nutridyne, diatomic iodine, the actual egg or casein iodine. Now, I want to switch gears because I think this is even more urgent. We have the latest, of course, win by the Bain Capital criminal, I call him, Romney. Mm-hmm. We have the attempt by, of course, the globalists to try to push forward John Huntsman by having the...
Nah, I called it. You know it.
Yeah, you called it. And that's what's amazing. I went back and did some research and was watching, because you called it, that they were going to push John Huntsman, and lo and behold, right out of the blue, the Boston Globe, of course, endorsed them.
Yeah.
Now, all of this is not by chance. All this is happening at the same time.
Of course.
They want to continue the Obama agenda, and if Romney gets in, he's not going to get support in South Carolina or these other evangelical areas because most evangelical Christians are fully immunized to the idea that Mormons are not Christians, okay? And he's not going to get the support there, so they want Huntsman to come up the middle or Santorum.
No, if Santorum's finished, he's toast.
Yeah, I figured he's toast.
Huntsman is the player's player. The guy is inside. He was appointed ambassador to Beijing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you don't get any higher place than that. He
exactly.
was brought back here for a reason. We know what it is. Watch it. Romney, if he stumbles at all, they'll take him out. His ratings will fall. He's gone. He has not gained the absolute confidence of the controllers. That's what I'm told over and over again by people who apparently know. But Huntsman, he's got it. He's one of them. He's blue blood all the way. They know what he'll do. He absolutely will bomb Iran. He will do everything possible to support Israel. And what really bothers me, it's not that I'm not surprised about the Huntsman's move. I knew they were going to do this.
Right.
184,000 votes counted so far. They're not finished counting. 43,000 for Ron Paul. That means 141,000 out of 184,000 voters voted for war, for the Federal Reserve, for the Patriot Act, for the NDAA, and all the rest of the anti-American, unconstitutional laws that these SOBs have passed.
Including the latest Expectation Act.
That's right. That's right. 141,000 out of 184,000 have voted for war, friends. War.
Well, they voted actually for Armageddon. And I'm going to just run through the scenario here. And it's going to take a while to play out, but this is what they voted for. If they have, let's say, Romney in there, or they have Huntsman, let's say Huntsman comes up the middle, or they have Obama, you could guarantee they're going to do what Israel and the globalists want to do, which is they've already given them 4,000 bunker buster nukes and JDAM bombs. They've now guaranteed they're going to do the same thing with Qatar, right? They're backing the Muslim Brotherhood, which are a bunch of terrorists that are coming in. They're trying to regime change Syria,
right. Well,
which is why this is not a normal civil war.
No.
I had on my program while I was away, Tim Alexander interviewed an Orthodox pastor from Chicago that traveled to Syria and had a meeting directly with Assad and these other people. All this thing is completely manufactured. It's on the Syrian Lebanese border, on the Syrian-Turkish border, the Syrian-Jordanian border. All these things are happening, especially like in Homs. These are all happening because they're arming people to act as regime change terrorists, and they're all backed completely by Saudi Arabia, Turkey, the United States, and Z, which is Academy, but by the way, Academy or Z, which is Blackwater Security, is now owned by Monsanto. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's disgusting. I saw it this morning.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. And of course, now that Ahmadinejad, this is a New Year's present for Iran, the insult on top of injury is to say to Iran, we're going to block all your sale of oil. So now Ahmadinejad goes to Venezuela to talk to Hugo Chavez, and Hugo Chavez has his foreign dignitaries ejected from the United States just for having Ahmadinejad visit. So we're not just talking about a war with Iran. What people need to understand, if there's a war in Iran, there's going to be another war. There'll be a war and invasion on Venezuela. And I'm going to say this today.
Well, you know why?
Yeah.
They've got up to 5 trillion barrels of recoverable crude oil. Five trillion.
Way more than the Middle East.
Well, Saudi Arabia has 600 billion.
Right. So the point is that Hugo Chavez knows that his neck is on the chopping block at the same time.
They want that oil. Five trillion barrels.
Now, if he was growing bananas, I guarantee you there'd never be an invasion of Venezuela. But because he's not growing bananas as his primary cash crop, it's oil and gas, he knows. That's why, and this is my classified sources, Venezuela has medium-range nuclear missiles aimed at America on Venezuelan soil. They have Russian and American material and equipment and troops in operation there now. They have on the Mexican-Guatemalan border medium-range nuclear missiles aimed at America now, not in the future. And people need to understand that what's going to happen if we attack Iran, this is not going to be easy. What will happen is all of a sudden you go to flip the lights and your lights won't work, your radio won't work because there's not going to be any more electricity because you've been hit by an EMP. You won't see a big flash, all of a sudden the city disappear. You'll see the power up. And the reason is you'll be hit by an EMP hundreds of miles offshore, and you won't even hear a bomb. You'll say, I wonder why the lights are out. The lights are out because this is the quiet before the storm. Okay?
That's right.
That's what's going to happen. Now, American citizens, you idiots that voted for these candidates that want war, this is what you're going to face. And again, Gerald Celente said the same thing. Lindsey Williams said the same thing. And I had supernatural visitation about a week ago. To confirm what I've been receiving in pieces of visions over 25 years. Here's the sequence. Again, I repeated last week. They're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. They want to blame the collapse of Europe and the devaluation of the dollar on the Venezuelans and the Iranians. Number two, when they devalue the dollar...
Can you hold that? I want to go through those slowly. We got to do a break here. Hold on. We'll be right back with Bill, and we'll do those 5 points. Okay, we're back. All right, Bill, let's hear those 5 points.
Yeah, this is the sequence. The first thing is that it's a virtual guarantee, and all of the pundits are now coming out and saying that they know that the globalists want the strait closed. And they wanted to blame it on the Iranians, and of course anybody who's affiliated, including the Venezuelans, who sold the S-300 anti-aircraft system to Iran from Russia, so it wasn't a direct sale. What's going to happen is that when the strait's closed, you're going to see the price of oil and gas go through the ceiling. And they'll have $300 to $500 a barrel oil. It means the world economy will crash into a full-force depression. At that point, they're going to devalue the dollar, back it by gold, and then they're going to have it linked to specific currencies. Again, they'll be linked to the U.S. dollar backed by gold. When they do this, they won't have control of the printing of currencies, so the debt bomb they created back, and they released it in 2007, 2008, will really explode because these countries trying to keep their economies going and they're too large to go to jail banks, would be the better term, right? we'll then print more money until finally it reaches the cataclysmic level where they're going to go to an electronic currency. And they want to have this currency tied to save the planet because of global climate changes. everybody can look at the climate. Here in California, it's been running in the high 70s or low 80s every day. It's like the middle of the summer. It's not normal. We're seeing rainfall levels only 20% of what it is normal in Mount Shasta, and the water table's up in the mountains here in California. We're back in the drought.
Yep.
What's going on in the world climate is it's completely disconnected because of the destruction of the loop current coming out of the Gulf of Mexico, the pacemaker of the world, according to Dr. Zangari from the Frascati Institute.
So, okay, we're tying the chopped off the loop is causing all this drought?
It's one of the major reasons.
Huh.
It's one of the major reasons because when the loop current goes, all the oceanic water flows determine the climate all over the planet. When you break that, you don't have normal. It's like having your inferior aorta tied off, so you don't have blood coming back to your heart.
Well, that was like the key ring and the chain, yeah.
Right. So here's the sequence. What's going to happen? And of course, we see this. Let's take a long look at this. What's going to happen this year is almost certainly we're going to see a conflict in the Middle East. They're trying to do a regime change in Syria. The Russians and Chinese can't tolerate this. So we're going to come within a hair's breadth of a thermonuclear war. No, I don't think we're going to have one, but what the Bible says, what I believe is going to happen, is we're going to have depression, we're going to have a lot more dead people, it could be even a regional war, but we're going to come within a hair's breadth of firing and exchanging nuclear weapons with Russia and China this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next thing that people don't want to hear, and of course it's been blacked out in the news pretty well, is that with this spent fuel pool number 4, we have the effective level of radiation, plutonium, which has been tracked all over the world, and these other isotopes are increasing. They're not decreasing. It's not in the news media. It's not on the radar scope. And I've talked to our environmental doctors, so I'm preparing lectures for the Academy of Environmental Medicine on the Fukushima disaster. So I'm preparing the lectures to teach all the other doctors in the Academy worldwide. And I'm also preparing lectures on the smart meters and what's going on there. Now, all of these things are converging, and that's why the Internet, they want to close down the Internet. That's why they want to have the total control over if you have anything that looks like it's off somebody else's site, even at like a reference to Fox News, they're going to try to shut down your site because they want to at least tell you they're going to have total control because they're getting ready. That's why even Hillary Clinton signed her intention to sign the Small Arms Treaty for the United Nations. They want to disarm the public of America by treaty by next year or later this year. They've signed an intention to remove all guns from America. Now, people need to realize they're going to get ready to do this because they're going to get us into that slaughterhouse where you go around that long track where you can't see the slaughterhouse doors.
Right.
But they're going to get everybody in that track starting to walk toward the doors. And people are going to say, oh, this isn't so bad. We can put up with the surveillance society. We can put up with being groped and abused by TSA.
Well, 60% of the idiots in New York voted for cams in their streets. They think they'll make them safer.
We can put up with too big to jail, banks. But, we can call Obama a socialist, but only if you're a billionaire. Everybody else dies. And I just listened to an audio clip on the weekend of a neurosurgeon who was traveling in Chicago on his car and listened to a radio show sent to me by Ron McDonald, one of our legal advisors, who's on my show regularly every 2 weeks. And the neurosurgeon said he just came back from a meeting in Washington, D.C., that if you're 70 years of age with Obamacare and you have a stroke, a neurological incident, say a fall and get a epidural hematoma,
right?
They don't do surgery on you anymore.
Well, I've heard that. I heard that's not true. It's been pretty well refuted, but the story is out there. I have no solid proof yet.
No. I've got this from my own sources.
All right.
It's actually, believe it or not, now listen to this. I know they say they refute it and they have these death panels, but the fact is it is true.
I know the panels are there. I just don't know about the cutoff at 70.
They're going to tell you that, but I've been down in the trenches, and I can tell you, having talked to these doctors from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Rand Paul and Dr. Ron Paul belong, and I have contacts that are giving me information for what they're planning to do when Obamacare comes in. When you get to a certain age, they're not going to provide chemotherapy if you get cancer. They're not going to give you.
Thank God, Bill, as you know, you'll live longer without chemotherapy, for God's sake.
Right, but the point is that they're not going to offer you anything, even the conventional one that'll kill you. They're not going to offer you anything. If you had an aneurysm in your brain, you need surgery. I mean, I'm not against surgery if you need it.
Or
if you have a blocked artery, you have to unblock it. But then you need to have a lifestyle so you don't reblock it, and then you survive so you don't, because you're going to die. If you have you know, a blocked artery because you're eating garbage and you're having hamburgers every day, well, no wonder. You're, you know, having a surgery is just going to delay your demise by maybe a few days or weeks. It's not going to save your life.
As we know now, people who have the same cancers and do nothing, i.e. surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, live longer than those who have those treatments and a much better quality of life.
Absolutely. In fact, that's the approach that I've taken. I've seen
95% of oncologists will refuse if they get cancer, chemo, and radiation.
Exactly. And especially things like pancreatic cancer, stage 4 cancer, whatever. And, of course, even the screening for prostate and other cancers, they're picking up indolent cancers that are slow growing or cysts. You don't have to screen every year, do all these tests.
No, the PSA test is a fraud.
Exactly.
Just type that in. PSA test
fraud.
The BRAC
test. And what happens is when they do these BRAC panels, they tell a woman, you got a BRAC panel that indicates you're going to get cancer. We got to do a bilateral mastectomy.
And women do not have mammograms. God's sakes, don't have mammograms.
Well, the thing they should do is a thermogram. And thermograms
will tell infrared.
Changes. And then what you do is you change your diet lifestyle, you get an infrared sauna.
And watch the test come back negative.
Yeah, exactly. What you'll notice is all of a sudden your body gets rid of the stealth pathogens, removes the toxins. You can do an aspiration of a cyst in a woman's breast who's developing precancerous changes, and you can send it off for chromatography, and we've done it. Hmm. And you can actually see peaks of all kinds of radiotoxins in there, chemicals like PCBs and DDT and everything, concentrated in the breast tissue, and it's no wonder they get problems.
Oh, absolutely. Take any breast tumor, analyze it, what do you got? All the chemicals in the world stored right in that tumor.
Same with the prostate. The prostate is like the bottom of the sink. If you want to detox the prostate, you got to take things like heavy metal chelators, like our Chelar Max and Zeolite. You take things to repair the DNA, and then when the cells are too damaged, you give nutraceuticals that make the cells kill themselves so that the new stem cells can go in and tunnel in and rebuild the gland. These principles are the same principles that are going to get our people to listen through Fukushima, but this current world government and collective of nations isn't doing squat. America is basically trying to spend us into bankruptcy for purposes because they want to make the American currency and the American machine the basis for world control, and they want to have a system where it's called a carbon neutral currency. So every transaction will have a carbon footprint on it, and it'll fund world government. People say, no, that's ridiculous. That won't happen. And this is going to happen very quickly. These strange weather events, for example, we're seeing already the greatest thinning of the ozone layer in the southern hemisphere and the northern. We don't know if it's a combination of the decreased magnetic field. You need three things: a magnetic field, you need oxygen, and you need to not have halide molecules like radioiodine in the upper atmosphere. And when you have the combination of decreased magnetic field, decreased oxygen, which we're having because we're killing the benthic layer of the ocean, and radioiodine, you start to thin the ozone layer. And that's the danger. When that happens, we could have a radiation shock of ultraviolet light that can wipe out all the grassy plants and a third of the trees, just like the Bible says. So people don't see this. They don't see a great famine coming in the next few years. They don't see, we have big farms and we have all these things.
Famine could start next month in the United States. No problem.
45-minute drop in the ozone layer of 65 to 80%, and our crops would fail.
We got no backup.
No backup. And we only have so much food even stored. We used to have back 25 years ago, what was it, three to four years?
It was a couple of years of reserves, at least.
A couple of years of food. And we had warehouses, back in the 70s.
Enormous grain storages, enormous dairy and stuff put away. And now we got days. That's it.
Right. And also they've forced us. So we have to take crops from other countries and spray it with chemicals that we don't even allow. Or when they come across the border, what they want to do is spray it with sulfur fluoride or irradiate it. And when you irradiate food, you make it deadly. All it does is it feeds cancer. It doesn't feed normal tissue.
No, it's hideous.
And again, people say, you're making it up. It's not a conspiracy. Well, guess what? It is. It's a conspiracy
to
truncate and kill the herd. Again, I love that video that I saw recently that talks about farming human beings. That's what we're in. We're in the final stage of farming where the farmers have decided it's time to call the herd. And Fukushima is just one of those steps. We're not going to do anything about Fukushima. We're going to start a thermonuclear war in the Middle East. We're going to have India and Pakistan do a nuclear exchange. And by the way, you breathing and eating peanut butter sandwiches in Iowa or Illinois or whatever, by the way, your peanut butter's radioactive now. Your milk's radioactive. Don't mind. Your children can't remember things because they're not only radiate with cell towers and microwaves and smart meters, but now they have to breathe in and eat Fukushima. Now they have to eat GMO food that fries their brain and disturbs their
gut bacteria. Not to mention what television does to their little brains, too.
Well, so. Yes, toxins. Again, it's electronic toxins.
Yeah.
Just like these video games.
It's
are
amazing. There's a war on life here.
Right, and people think we're exaggerating. And I tell people,
no.
The only thing that you're going to be able to bring it into perspective is the spiritual side. That's why people say, why are you still strident like Thibault about your faith? I said, because if you don't see the dark side in this, you know, like the final glimmer of wisdom that happened with Darth Vader when he finally turned from the dark side at the end of his life, if you don't see that, you'll never understand what's going on. This is not just about greedy people wanting power. This is about satanically energized monstrosities that are inhabiting the husks of human flesh like Obama and Hillary Clinton. And they are pushing the buttons to annihilate humanity. And people say, oh, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. I am literally telling people we're on the cusp, not of a 2012 that's a great celebration, but the start of what I call the final reptilian empire. The destruction of humanity, the destruction of the ecosystem, the destruction of the economy, all by design. And the disaster is not some incoming dwarf star that might pass later on in the our ancestors survived that could cause coronal mass ejections and knock out the power, which we could easily fix. But no, our problem is humanity. They're driven by Satanists. And this year, thing that I said last time, we're going to face the fact that in this year, when we see what's going on with Ron Paul, and we're going to see what's going to happen with the government that's going to continue spinning like drunken sailors and continue more wars, is that hope in the system, hope with a system where we have populated human beings that vote for war like these fools in this latest poll.
Primary.
Mm-hmm. And then politicians, by and large, except for the few exceptions like Ron Paul, that don't want mass death and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And liars pretend they're pro-life and say they want war. How can you say you're pro-life and you want war? How can you?
That's
how
right.
How can Romney or Santorum or anybody else say, let's bomb Iran? How can they say they're pro-life?
It's such a depraved, macabre show. It's hideous. Bill,
it is.
Thanks. We're out of time. Great program, as always. We're just laying it out there.
If people need to wake up now, and as I say, they need to get spiritually centered, because this year is going to be the start of a sprint toward Armageddon.
Thank you. Well said. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Okay,
take action.
Bro. Night. All right, that's it for hour two, and we will be back after the top of the hour.